Oh, man. That sound is just hugely evocative in my life. I was born mid-century, mid-20th century, but this weekend it will be 100 years since the birth of that American comedy icon Lucille Ball, actress, comedian, star of the enduring 50s sitcom, which endured well into the 70s in various incarnations. The hit TV series followed the hilarious adventures of Lucy and her husband Ricky. Here's a clip from the episode when Lucy unknowingly becomes very drunk during an appearance in a TV commercial.
Vitamin Vegemin contains vitamins, meat, vegetables, and minerals.
A woman trying to enter the workforce in an economy that barely resembles what we have today. Nevertheless, Lucille Ball still has the power to make people laugh. My kids actually can do that Vitamita Vegemin routine word for word, and they're all of this century. She was often the butt of jokes, and her physical presence and timing made her popular with viewers all over America, but she had a huge impact on culture and on feminism in the United States. According to Gina Baracca, humorist and professor of English literature and feminist theory at the University of Connecticut, she joins us this morning from way over on the other side of the continent in Vancouver. Good morning, Gina.
Good morning.
So, Lucille Ball, happy birthday, Lucy, eh?
I'm so delighted. I'm here in Vancouver for a conference on women in comedy, and it's all this theoretical stuff, and people are talking about, you know, Aristophanes and Lysistrata, and still everything comes back to I Love Lucy. We're talking Lysistrata and I Love Lucy.
And we're talking about a vision of American family from the 1950s that it's maybe not relevant today, but it's evocative today.
Well, and it's iconic. I mean, that's part of the deal, is that even people who have no idea not only what, you know, the sort of traditional little family was like that Lucy and Ricky and their, you know, finally little Ricky represented, also had no idea that you could find an apartment in New York that, you know, for that amount of money. These were
right.
Lower middle class people. They were represented initially. And living in an apartment, I think, on the Upper East Side, which now, you know, only, you know, magnates and holders of vast sums of wealth could live in.
Yeah. You laugh, but
oh,
it's
no,
true.
Oh, no, I don't. Yeah. I'm from Brooklyn. Yeah. I really don't laugh.
We're talking with Gina Baracca, humorist and professor of English literature and feminist theory at the University of Connecticut, about the 100th anniversary of Lucille Ball. And, you know, in a sense, the Honeymooners, the old Ralph Cramden sitcom, moved uptown in I Love Lucy. But the family orientation of I Love Lucy, Ricky, Little Ricky, really became a template for every ethnic group in America to create their own sort of I Love Lucy kind of sitcom. It paved the way for empowerment, first of women on I Love Lucy, and then almost every other group in America that played out on television.
Well, and it's interesting you mentioned ethnicity, because, of course, part of the whole deal was that Ricky was the Cuban. I mean, a lot was made of his ethnic heritage, and they made fun of him. I mean, she constantly made fun of his accent in a way that would now be considered, you know, incredibly politically incorrect. But he was absolutely embraced for his difference. I mean, he was never trying to pretend to be an American. He was always, you know, the Cuban man married to this, you know, absolutely, you know, Scottish American woman. And that was never an issue. It was never this idea that somehow she was supposed to be maligned for having, you know, not married a son of the DAR or something. I mean,
indeed. Well, let's get a sense of that firsthand here. If, you know, forget Aristophanes, here from I Love Lucy is a moment of diversity and physical comedy.
Do you like earthy women?
What's earthy?
That.
Well, we don't call that earthy in Cuba.
Oh, what do you call it?
We have five words for it. Ay, 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 ay.
And you know what Lucy's doing in that scene, right? She's squashing grapes with her feet.
Right. She's there with the Italian women. Yeah. Yes. And as an Italian-American, believe me, we all go back to the grape stomping scene.
And, you know, I mean, some could say that the lack of tension in their relationship over precisely these ethnic issues was a part of the delusion of I Love Lucy, not a part of its reality.
Oh, but, you know, it's comedy, right? And comedy transports us to another place. I love the idea. Actually, my favorite idea about I Love Lucy is that in the plot for almost every episode was that she was trying to go to work. This was a woman who actually was way ahead of her time. all she wants to do. She wants to work at the candy factory. She wanted to sell vitamin to Vegemin, as we heard.
Oh,
she
that was a crazy episode, the candy
right.
factory. Describe
well, the
that.
The candy factory is the most amazing one. The physical comedy of her and Vivian Vance trying to keep up with the fast candy line. It was just absolutely brilliant. And also, it's one of the few times where you see women packing candy into their mouths as like gerbils
right.
trying to store it. Also, you never see women eating, you know, at where it's funny. I mean, it's an anomaly in women's lives. But all she ever wanted to do is go to work. And at the end of every episode, she had to be happy to be back in that little apartment in New York. It was like Dorothy, you know, having to click her heels and get out of Oz. She wanted to be a working woman. And it wasn't until, I don't know, Mary Tyler Moore that we got a sitcom where women
so
could
right.
actually go to work.
It's Gina Bareka, humorist and professor of English literature and feminist theory at the University of Connecticut. What's your favorite Lucy moment? I love Vitamin to Vegemin. The candy factory there is one of Gina's favorites. You know, it comes straight from Charlie Chaplin.
Absolutely.
And
well,
on this,
I
but mean, wait, hold on 1 second, because we're almost out of time, and we really have to note the fact that before Oprah, it was Lucille Ball, who was the sort of 900-pound gorilla in the entertainment industry.
Right. She owned Desilu Studios. She was the one who controlled everybody. I love when William Holden, she wanted to meet him, and she set her nose on fire. I love a woman setting her nose on fire. It's still something I hope to see, you know, really happen in a cocktail lounge with a woman in a ball gown. It's my favorite line.
Every comedian owes a debt to Lucille Ball, who turns 100 today. They're thinking about it out there at the Humor Conference in Vancouver. Keep laughing, Gina, if you can.
Thank you so much. It was just a treat to speak to you.
All right, Gina Bareka, humorist and professor of English literature and feminist theory at the University of Connecticut. We're serious. What are your favorite I Love Lucy moments? Listener in Flushing, New York writes to us, she wasn't afraid to be her spunky, smart, beautiful, opinionated, hilarious self in a time when it wasn't popular for women to do any of that. You can reach us, too, by calling 877-8-MY-TAKE. And if you want more of The Takeaway online, you can head to our site where you can listen to past interviews, subscribe to our podcast, Movie Date, and more. That's at thetakeaway.org. On this morning, have you looked at the market indices? Hey, we need Lucille Ball. Hey, honey, I'm home.